Welcome, everyone, to the Get Clients Now Facilitator Teleforum. Our topic today is coaching the sale. Great questions to ask when you want people to buy. This is CJ Hayden speaking, and also facilitating today will be Frank Traditti, the Director of Training and Licensing for Get Clients Now. Say hi, Frank.
Hello, everyone.
This line is open for your contributions and questions, but please keep yourself muted unless you have something to say. You can use the mute button on your phone or press *6 to mute yourself. We'll stop periodically and ask for questions and comments. And remember that you'll need to unmute yourself by pressing *6 again when you'd like to say something. If you're speaking and we don't acknowledge you, you're probably still muted. So anybody else join us while I was off turning on the recording?
Oh, hi, Sheena King from the UK.
Hello, welcome. Glad
Thank you.
You could join us today. Anybody else? Okay, so what we'll be talking about today is this: convincing people to enroll in the Get Clients Now program or to host it in-house in their organization often requires resolving some of their considerations first. So notice the language that I'm using. Not overcome objections, but resolve considerations. When someone has concerns about moving forward with a purchase, it's a golden opportunity for coaching. And when you coach prospects about their considerations, instead of trying to overcome them in some adversarial or predatory way, what you do is you give your prospects a taste of what it would be like to work with you. And you also model for them what collaborative, non-manipulative selling can be like. Selling in this collaborative way, where you and the prospect are both on the same side, can be much more effective than traditional, more adversarial selling. Because if the conversation is comfortable and it's supportive, the prospect's going to want to stay on the phone with you or keep you in their office. But when you're being pushy or heavy-handed or uncomfortable yourself, people want to get rid of you as soon as possible. So the advantage of being collaborative is that it's a much more comfortable and natural conversation for you. Most of us who lead the Get Clients Now program, we're coaches, we're trainers. We got into business in order to help people. We want to be helpful and not pushy and demanding. So collaborative, non-manipulative selling comes much more easily to us than it does to lean on people and try and make them buy. So I'm going to talk first about some of the basics of non-manipulative or collaborative selling. And there's six different elements to it, I think. The first one is to use collaborative language, both to yourself when you're talking to yourself about what it is you're doing and to the prospect when you're talking to them. You know, when I first came up with the Get Clients Now program, one of the things in my mind was that there are so many battle and war metaphors used in sales and marketing. And I didn't like that. I didn't like the paradigm that set up. So that's where I came to the conclusion that in Get Clients Now, I was going to be talking about food, shopping lists, menus. My metaphor was going to be cooking dinner. And I thought that that was a much more easy-sounding metaphor to work with to make us more comfortable and our prospects more comfortable about the whole marketing and selling process. So in talking to yourself, you want to use phrases like resolve considerations, not overcome objections. Big difference between those two. When you're talking to your prospect, you want to tell them, I want to explore your situation with you, not find out if you can use Get Clients Now. Or let's work together on a solution, not let's talk about hiring me. So every time that you have a conversation, if you come from that perspective of let's collaborate, let's explore together, let's work together, let's you and I both be on the same side. If that's the perspective that's in your mind, that's the language that you're using to yourself and to them, it starts to make a real shift in how the conversation goes. The second piece is to make your objective to help the client, not to close a sale. If that's what's in your mind, I'm going to be helpful to this person I'm talking to, rather than I'm going to try and get this person I'm talking to hire me, it allows you to really relax, to focus on them, on what they need. The idea is that you want to give them value from every conversation from you, whether or not they hire you at the end of it. So make suggestions, make recommendations, share ideas with them. Don't hold on to all that until they're paying you. Because if what they see is, oh, this is a helpful, supportive person, they're going to be much more likely to want to engage with you than if what they see is, oh, here's somebody who's really treating all of these things like they're scarce. They're not going to reveal anything to me until I'm a paying customer. And keeping that helpful, we're on the same side perspective is what's going to be able to allow you to be comfortable, to allow the conversation to move forward, to allow the sale to move forward. So the third basic element is what you want to do is have a conversation rather than making a presentation. Even if what you're doing is you're going into a room where there is more than one person and you're going to talk to them about the Get Clients Now program in some way, you want to have a conversation. And that looks like a tennis match. You hit a ball, they hit it back. You hit it back to them, they hit it back to you. It's two ways. It's back and forth. Everything you say should be a direct response to what they say. Now, there may be pieces of what you do where you're going to say, oh, okay, well, let me show you this piece, right? And then you do a mini presentation on some particular topic. But in every situation that you're in, you want to make sure that what you're doing is gathering from them what they need, what they want, what they're interested in, and responding directly to that with what you say rather than giving them something canned. So the fourth element is to stay curious. So for those of you who've had formal coach training, that's one of the things they teach us, right, is staying curious. Ask questions until you're sure you understand, and even then, ask more questions as you go. So here's an example. You say to a prospective client, how are things going with your business? And the client says, well, I'm doing okay, but I could use more clients. So the tendency is very often to say, oh, well, you know, you should take the Get Clients Now program. Don't go there. Stay curious. Ask them, well, what have you been doing to get clients? And they say, well, I've been building a network on Facebook and posting a lot. Okay, your tendency might be, well, you know, you should take the Get Clients Now program. Or, I wonder if you've considered trying anything different, right? Instead, stay curious. Ask them, how's that working out for you? And they say, not so well. Again, your tendency might be to say, well, you should consider taking the Get Clients Now program, right? Or to give them advice about something else to do. Stay curious. Ask them, well, what have you considered doing instead? They say, I'm not sure. Maybe I should take a class or read a book. And now they have actually opened the door to you responding to them with the exact thing they've just said that they're considering doing instead. And you can say, oh, would you like to hear about the class I offer? And now you can talk about the Get Clients Now program. So with just a few more questions, what you've done is if you actually had them express a specific need that you can respond to, and the way that it lands on the person that you're talking to them is entirely differently than if what you had done after the very first question when they said, well, I could use more clients, to tell them I have a solution for you without you even knowing what it is that they've been trying, what it is that they're thinking about, etc. So imagine that you take this a little bit further. And you tell them a little bit about the Get Clients Now program, and you're at the place where ordinarily you might say, so what do you think? Would you like to sign up? Instead, you say, how does that program sound to you? Because when you do that, instead of you asking a question that they might say no to, like, would you like to sign up, they say now, you say, how does that program sound to you? And they say, well, it sounds good, but I'm kind of worried about spending the money. So they raise the consideration that you need to resolve with them. Your tendency might be to say, well, you know, it's really worth it, and let me tell you why, to instead stay curious, ask a question. Where do you think you should be spending money right now? So in that circumstance, what do you think they're going to say in answer to the question, where do you think you should be spending money right now? Well, it's going to make them stop and think, is there really something else I should be spending money on except investing in trying to get more clients? Whatever they say, stay curious about it. Help them to resolve that consideration. The two of you work together to find a solution. So that's how you deal with having a conversation, element number three, and staying curious, element number four. So the last two I'm not going to say very much about right now because we're going to say more about them as we go. The fifth is offer what they need, not what you want them to have. Tony Alessandra says, prescription before diagnosis is malpractice. And I think that's a good analogy to keep in mind about this. So offer what they need, not what you want them to have. And number six is confirm the fit before asking for the business. And we're going to talk about both of those elements a little bit more later on. So next we're going to talk about specifically how to discover what it is that is going to make your prospect want to buy. But before we do that, questions, thoughts about anything I just said?
Sheena, what's it say? Could you repeat the last one? I didn't quite catch that.
Sure. Confirm the fit before asking for the business.
Thank you.
Confirm that what you're offering is a fit for what they need before you ask them, do they want to do business with you? Great. Anything else?
CJ, this is Kim.
Yes, Kim.
I love that. I love how you led them right on down, not until the diagnosis was clear and evident and it came out of their mouth first. That is one of my, we jump right to the let me give you the solution without knowing if that's really where they want to go. Thank you.
Sure, and of course not every time, right, are they going to say what I want is what you have, and that's the point because you need to respond to what it is that they want, and many of us have multiple offers, right? We might have the Get Clients Now program. We might have one-on-one coaching. We might have many, many other things to offer. If that person had instead of saying, well, I've been thinking about taking a class or reading a book, if they'd instead said, well, I've been thinking about hiring somebody to help me, or even I've been thinking about hiring a coach, well, that's what you want to respond to, right? So that's why it's so important to do the diagnosis before making your prescription.
Thank you.
Great. So, Frank, let's go to the next piece.
You bet, CJ. Thanks. And I love your stuff. It ties so closely to the foundation of what we do in the coaching world and what we do as coaches. Some key words came up for me: collaborative, conversation, curiosity. All of those things fit perfectly into what I'm going to talk about here, which is how to discover what will make your prospects buy. And the key word for me here is discover. So as CJ mentioned, it really is a conversation, and it's a dialogue. It's a back and forth between the two of you, or it may be between several of you in a room. And the foundation of that dialogue is the customers or your prospects' needs and wants. And those, you uncover those needs and wants by the questions that generate interest. You know, I'm going to just stop here for a second. I'm sorry, someone, if you could go on mute, if you could mute your phones, I think we got a little bit of background noise that sounds like we may be out in traffic or something. So if you could mute your phone, we would appreciate that. So the foundation, as I said, of any sales dialogue is the customer's needs and wants. So there are two things here that are real key to uncovering and discovering those needs and wants. And those are questions that generate the interest, the energy, and the curiosity in the conversation. And secondly, your astute listening allows you to discover the nuggets of all that all important information in every conversation and every dialogue. And the perfect sales call starts, well, and ends also when your prospects feel that their needs and wants are understood. And you can, it's almost palpable when you can see it or hear it that you know that their needs are being met in your conversation. And understanding, you know, the customer's needs and your prospect's needs is the fastest route to making a sale. Questioning and listening, as I mentioned, is the bedrock of a coaching relationship. And it also makes it possible to know exactly what your customer thinks and wants to achieve, or for you to turn your products and services, in this case participating in your GCN programs, into customer solutions. So that's kind of the equation here. Questioning, good questions, great listening. That's the bedrock of the coaching relationship, and also the ability to be able to uncover what the customer is thinking, and for you to turn your services, your programs, GCN, whatever, into customer solutions. Now and unfortunately, this doesn't happen a lot. It happens more often that the poor understanding of needs and more than a weak budget, strong competition, or indecision on the customer's part poses the greatest obstacle to getting prospects to sign up for programs. Spencer Tracy, one of the greatest actors of all time, said, most actors don't learn how much gold there is in a scene by just listening. Now, let me paraphrase this by saying most salespeople don't realize how much gold there is in a sales call by just listening. So asking questions, listening intently to your prospects, you can then internalize their point of view. And this is where the internalization of that feeling that I talked about earlier of it being palpable is that internalization allows you to make great decisions. It allows you to talk to your prospects, coach your prospects through the process, and they see you as an ally versus just someone out for their money and the sale. So the art and science of coaching the sale is successfully communicating through a non-threatening way, using your skills and asking the right questions and listening for clues that will help them make the decision on their own, not you making the decision for them to take part in your programs. Now, these clues, they show up in a lot of different ways in your conversation. So these clues may be they have a problem they want to solve. That's a lack of sales. They want to overcome a personal challenge. Perhaps it's a fear of marketing themselves. It's an opportunity to grow their business. You may hear that. That may be translate into a group of recently hired salespeople that need specific marketing and selling training. Or you may hear they're interested in a unique way to use your services to make money and to use the Get Clients Now program to make money. And that might be a laser-like focus on filling their pipeline with deals worth $100,000 or more. So those clues will show up as you go through the discovery process and as you go through this coaching process. Now, let's talk about listening a little bit here. Think of tuning your ears and mind in like tuning in a radio station. Okay? You're going to find the clearest channel, and then you're going to listen intently to what's being said over the air. So this also requires yourself to tune out any distractions in your own head. And that's the distraction can come up easily. Like, you know, somebody, a prospect may be talking to you and you say, you may have heard this 1,000 times before. Or like Kim talked earlier, she mentioned that it's so tempting just to jump into the sales part. So tempting to give them the answer. When in this sense, you tune in, listen for ways to model a coaching process. So here's an example of how that might go. Here's a conversation between you and your prospect. You say, where do you get most of your business right now? The prospect says, well, from referrals, word of mouth, people I know in the community, and maybe calling some people directly. You say, well, you know, it sounds like you know quite a bit about how to market yourself and your services already. Prospect says, yes, but it's not a consistent flow. Lots of peaks and valleys. In fact, there's a lot more valleys than there are peaks. You say, well, I understand. How are you getting your message out so that more people can refer your services or spread the word about how good you are at delivering your service or product? Prospect says, well, we do some advertising. We've got our website. We do a little bit of networking, but it's not an organized plan. I struggle with trying different things, and if they don't work, I try something else. You might say here, you know, you're in pretty good company with so many other business owners like yourself. And you're right, it's sometimes difficult to nail down what works and what doesn't. So let me ask you this. What if you had a structured plan that defined just the right marketing strategies with the specific actions you need to take on a daily or weekly basis? Do you think that might help create a consistent and organized approach? Prospect says, absolutely. I need something that helps me stay on course. Now, that short little dialogue, you heard kind of the volley back and forth, and you heard how it works between how a coaching process. I mentioned that, hey, you already kind of know what's going on. You know what marketing is about. You know, you want to kind of tell them they're already doing good things. And then you're also on their team, and you're making suggestions. You're almost making them feel like you're an employee with their business already. So coaching the sale in its simplest form is basically asking good questions, listening intently, getting that response, and giving you the information to work with in your sales process. You're exploring on a deeper level. You're uncovering specific areas where you can be of benefit. And that valuable coaching experience for the client during your conversation is the more you understand their motivations, their challenges, their issues and goals, the better you are to help them find success. And it's no different in any other, and it's the same in every other sales call. So let me stop here and see if there's any comments or anything to add to what we just talked about here.
Frank, something I would point out about the two different examples that you and I just gave is that our prospects, our fictitious prospects here, gave different reasons why they might want Get Clients Now. So my prospect didn't know very much about marketing. Here was somebody who was trying to market themselves by building a network on Facebook and making some posts there. And that was their idea of what marketing looked like, right? Frank's prospect was much more sophisticated and already knew a lot about marketing, was doing a lot to market their business. So you can't sell to those two people the same way. If either one of us had launched into a canned pitch about what Get Clients Now could do, we wouldn't know what would interest the prospect. Frank's prospect needed some kind of organized system, and my prospect needed to know what worked and didn't work in marketing. So those are both things that Get Clients Now can provide. But until you do that questioning, you don't know what it is that a particular prospect is going to respond to.
Great point, CJ. And everybody you talk to is going to be just a little bit different. You know, the needs that they express, the challenges and the opportunities they express are going to look and smell and taste just a little bit different from prospect to prospect. And like you said, you can't assume that you know, and what you say by just delivering the solution right away is going to be the answer. It may not be.
So the same principle holds when you're talking to an individual about what they need And when you're talking to somebody that represents an organization about what the organization needs, and in an organization, sometimes you're going to be having a conversation with more than one person, and in fact, the clues that those different people give you might not be the same clues. You might have two people in a room, and you're talking to them about bringing Get Clients Now into their organization, and you hear one person saying one thing and the other person saying the other. You need to be able to speak to both of those and talk about how you have a solution for both of those things, which might be Get Clients Now, or it might be Get Clients Now plus something else that you can provide.
Exactly. I'm curious to know if anybody out in the audience has experienced that. And if they have, what's taken place? What's happened? How did you handle it? Okay. Well, CJ, you want to take us through our next segment?
Yeah, let's talk about some questions that you can ask prospects, some more ideas about what you can actually say, and just a very basic thing about questioning. You know, there's two kinds of questions. There's the open-ended question and the closed-ended question. So the closed-ended question is one that can be answered with a yes or no, and an open-ended question is anything else. So what you want to do with questioning in sales conversations is stick with open-ended questions unless you're asking for permission or confirmation. So typically, in the arc of a sales conversation, you have a permission question at the beginning, or more than one permission question, and then at the end you have a confirmation question or more than one confirmation question. And in the middle, what you're doing is you're asking lots of open-ended questions. So at the beginning of a sales conversation, you're very often asking a permission conversation there at the opening, something like, well, do you have 15 minutes right now so that we could talk about this in some detail? Or can I tell you a little bit about this program that I have and see if it might be a fit? That's a permission question, both of those. When you have permission, then you move into a phase where you're asking a lot of exploring questions. So you heard me ask earlier, how's your business going? With an individual, that's a great question. With an organization, you might be asking something a little bit more general, like, well, what is your situation? Or what sales and marketing needs do you have in your organization? Right? So you're opening up with a fairly broad exploration question, and then from there on, you're responding to what you hear to get narrower and narrower. So you ask them a question like, how's your business going? Or what's your situation here? And you hear something, and you come back with, well, how urgently are you looking for a solution? Or how soon do you need to do something about that? So that gives you an idea of how much urgency there is behind it. Other ways of saying the same thing. When do you need this done? When were you thinking about getting started? How soon do you need to take some action? All of those are ways of making them aware that, hey, this is pretty urgent, I need to do something about it, and cluing you in to, yeah, they do have some urgency behind it, they want to move fairly quickly. Another kind of exploration question to ask is, what have you already tried? You heard both Frank and I ask some version of that question. What are you already doing? What resources do you already have lined up for this? What sort of people have you hired to help in the past? What programs have you already taken? So you're looking for, what do they know? What have they tried? What do they already have? So what that begins to tell you is what you can offer, what you can provide that isn't what they've already got. And very often when you ask a what have you already tried question, they will, in the course of answering it, also respond with why that's not working for them. If they don't, that's the next kind of question that you typically want to ask. How's that working out for you? What is it about what you've been doing that's not working? Why are you still looking at additional solutions. What needs are you still trying to fill? So now you're looking for what are the gaps? What about what they're already doing isn't working for them? What more can be added or needs to be provided? Another kind of exploration question to ask is about the money. What kind of budget do you have? What were you expecting to pay for this? When you're talking to an individual, you might get even more specific. Well, I have a program that costs $295. If we were to decide to work together, would that be within your budget? So you're finding out where are the parameters that we need to work within. If you're talking to an organization, those kinds of questions can clue you in as to whether they're expecting you to come in and for $500 solve their problem, or whether what they're looking at is something comprehensive and ongoing. So it's a great question to ask, and it's a perfectly okay question to ask, particularly in organization. What kind of budget do you have? What were you expecting to pay? What kind of ballpark are we talking about for a budget? They're expecting that question, so don't feel embarrassed about asking it. So you've done some kind of opening permission questions. You've asked a number of exploration questions. And then typically what happens is you need to have some resolving questions. Because as you're talking back and forth, some considerations usually start to emerge. And if they don't start to emerge, well, they're going to start emerging when you ask for the business, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. So resolving questions are things like, what else do you need to know? And in fact, you can ask, what else do you need to know multiple times? Yeah, it's a big decision. What are some of your concerns about it? You heard me ask the question, what else do you want to spend money on? Right? So you can address any concern, any consideration that they have with a specific question to address that particular consideration. Somebody says, well, I'm not sure. Great. Ask them, well, what would you need to make you sure? Somebody tells you, I'm not sure we can spend the time right now. Well, how might doing this actually save you some time in the long run? Or, well, what else would you be spending the time on? Or how much time might this cost you in the long run if you don't take care of it now? All of those are questions in response to a particular consideration. And there's another kind of resolving question that you might ask too, which is what else they need in order for things to move forward. Questions like, who else do you need to talk to before you decide what to do about this? That's a resolving question, right? Whether it's somebody inside their organization or whether it's one of your competitors. What else might I be able to do to help you in moving this forward and making this decision? That's another type of resolving question. And at the end of the conversation, if what turns out is they're not ready to move forward, what you may need to do is once again ask a permission question like, okay, well, can I call you back next week? Or can I get in touch with you next quarter? In order for the conversation to keep open and keep going at some point in the future. So we're going to talk some more about asking for the business, but those are some examples of permission questions, exploring questions, and resolving questions that you might want to have in your repertoire to stay curious and keep asking in this back and forth conversation. Any questions or thoughts about any of that?
CJ, this is Natalie.
Yeah, Natalie.
When asking, when keeping the conversation open and asking, can I call you back next week is one thing, but let's say that they've made a decision that it's, you might have asked, what else can I do to help you in moving forward and making this decision, and they might have said, well, there's really nothing at this point, And then, so to ask, can I call you back next quarter? Is there something that is helpful in giving as a reason, like your purpose, when you do call them back? That you
absolutely, absolutely, because your purpose, remember we said at the beginning, is to be helpful, not to close the sale. So I'd like to find out how the solution that you're deciding to use other than me, right, is working out for you. I'd like to find out how this is going for you and see if I can make some suggestions about how it might go better. Can I get back in touch? So imagine that you were already their coach, right, and you'd been working with them for a while and they decided to take a break from working with you because they were going to be doing some other stuff. It would be very, very natural for you to say, wow, I really want to know how that's going for you. Can we keep in touch about that? Can I talk to you 6 months from now? That's the perspective that you want to be holding. And if that's what's in your head, that I want to help this client, not I want to close the sale, it'll come off as very natural for you to say, can we keep in touch about that? Can I find out how it's going for you? Does that make sense?
Perfect. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, this is Frank, and to add on to that, think back to a piece of the conversation or, you know, a nugget that your prospect has, you know, has uncovered or at least divulged to you during the call, and that might be something to check back in on. So, like, for instance, in my example, it was, you know, they're struggling a bit with having a plan. Well, you know, maybe we can talk next week about your thoughts around what that plan might look like. Would, you know, is Tuesday at noon okay to talk? You know, something along those lines. But pick out a specific nugget that they delivered and they gave to you that could be a possible follow-up opportunity.
That's great, Frank, because, of course, it really is key to try and make it as specific as possible to their situation. Let's talk about asking for the business, Frank.
Okay. All right. Here we go. We're going to get it now. you know, when we think about asking for the business as something that only happens in the final moments of a conversation, it might be a bit too simplistic. Really, on the contrary, while asking for the business typically does come at the end of a conversation, at the end of a dialogue, it actually starts before the call, when you set your objectives for the conversation. So I want to get you to think a little bit about, before you have your conversations, whether it's for an in-house program or you're talking to someone who wants to, who's interested or may be interested in participating in one of your public programs or whatever, it actually starts before you make that call. So closing the sale or asking for the business is threaded throughout the entire call as you ask check-in questions to get feedback. And when you do finally come to the end of your call, it doesn't feel so much like a huge buildup to a potential failure and not getting the business. Actually, it's more like arriving at the same destination at a joint conclusion with your prospects. So there's three actions to kind of think about when asking for the business. One is know what you want your prospect to do before the start of the call. Ask for feedback. Secondly, ask for feedback throughout or check-ins. And third, ask for the business or determine the next step. So let's talk about each one of those a little bit. Know what you want your prospects to do. So define what you want to accomplish. Think about, you know, write down a few notes before your call, before your meeting, before your conversation. Write down a few things that you think or goals you'd like to accomplish during that call. And they can be anything and run anywhere from just gain agreement to move forward on participating in your program or delivering an in-house program. That's the ultimate. It may be just gaining agreement to accept a proposal by a certain date. It might be just finding out the criteria your prospect will use to make a decision. It may be just to find out what their goals are. So have some kind of idea ahead of time of what you think you'd like your prospect to do. It's good planning. It's good to be thinking about that. Now, the second part of this is asking for the feedback throughout the call. And CJ kind of hit on this in throughout her conversation today. And that's really asking those questions that kind of check in. You want to hear the reaction to your conversation. The feedback questions and the check-in questions let you know how your prospect feels and thinks about what you've talked about. And checking for that feedback throughout the call serves as a thread to sew up the deal and gives you confidence to ask for action at the end of the call. So questions like, how does that sound? What did you think about the design of the program for your salespeople? How would this work inside of your organization? How would this work for you and your small business? What do you think you can do with the information that we've talked about today? So just a check-in along the way, and all you're doing is getting some affirmation that things are going in the right direction. They'll tell you if it isn't. And again, that's going back to the discovery and the curiosity phase of you may need to kind of step back and do a little bit more exploration or discovery about really where you're headed with the call. So the third step for asking for the business is actually asking for the business or determining the next step. And a key word here is momentum, right? You've felt and you've experienced momentum in your conversation. You don't want to stop and just put a stake in the sand and stop that momentum, right? You don't want just to hit a mug bog. What you want to do is you're poised to move forward before you walk out the door or hang up or part ways with your prospect. So maintaining that momentum. And maintaining that momentum is asking the right questions and having the great dialogue of using a couple of different ways to do it. So you can, bottom line, asking for the business is we can start the program for your sales teams next week. All I need is your go-ahead. How does that sound? Or my Get Clients Now program starts on March 1st. Can we look forward to your participation? Or it'll take me until Friday to coordinate all my material. Can we start the Get Clients Now marketing program for your team on Monday? So those are kind of bottom line, getting to the point questions. Now, you want to keep the momentum going. So perhaps a momentum kind of question is I understand and completely appreciate that you want to run this by other stakeholders in your business. Can we meet next week on Tuesday to make sure the Get Clients Now program is a good match for you? Or how would you feel about my meeting with the key stakeholders to discuss how Get Clients Now will increase your sales performance and get back to you by next week? So that'd be an example if you had an in-house program. Or I know it sounds like you've got some things to think about, and I really appreciate that. I hope I've been able to answer all your questions. How about we talk on Friday, and I've given you a chance to kind of look over, maybe visit the site, and we can talk a little bit more about and get a little bit closer to you participating in the program. How does that sound? So you want to either bottom line and get to the point where you're actually asking for the business, and at the very least you want to keep the momentum flowing with the call. So So those are the three pieces that you want to be considerate of when how and when to ask for the business. Any comments to that or questions or any dialogue you'd like to have? They're all signing away right now, CJ. I can hear them. They're signing
That's
on the
right.
dotted line.
I think that was really useful, Frank. And I want to emphasize that the whole point of going down this path with how to sell is to keep in mind our status as coaches, consultants, trainers, people who help people, right? And the fact that some of us, but not all of us, also happen to be marketing and sales experts. And remembering that every time we get into a conversation like this, we're not only trying to get some business, we're also modeling to the people we're talking to. This is how we do this. And this is how we're going to teach you to do this too. This is our point of view. This is our perspective. And if you come to us, this is what you're going to learn from us. You know, a lot of salespeople don't have to actually interact with the customers after the sale gets made. And those are very often the ones who are delivering the most uncomfortable experience. But what you want to do is you want to deliver a comfortable experience, a completely comfortable experience for you and for them, because then that's the flavor that they're going to get of what it's going to be like to work with you on an ongoing basis. So this sales conversation, if it's a coaching conversation, actually is such a smooth segue into the actual working together part, because they have already gotten to experience what it's like to be with you. And if you're like this in this sort of sometimes awkward and challenging way, wow, won't you be really great when you're working with them as a coach, as a consultant, as a trainer?
Yeah, exactly, CJ. And the magic word there was making it comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The comfortability of that conversation with someone, because it can be, there's some tacit tension there behind the scenes. There's some surface tension that happens in any time you're going to be in a conversation where it's a potential sales call. And there's tension on both ends. There's tension from the coach's side, from you selling it, but also from the prospect side. They're tense. So I think modeling a coaching approach, which what we have talked about today, and leading up to asking the right questions and listening intently and being a collaborative partner with them, makes the conversation so much easier for your prospect.
Yeah, I definitely think so. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more about how to do this, and how to do it well, I'm going to suggest some resources. And if anybody else has resources to suggest, by all means, let us know too. I've written a couple of articles that I think would be particularly helpful. One is How Much Do You Love Your Prospects? And that's on the GetClientsNow.com site. And the full URL, we'll put these in the email that goes out after the session. But the full URL is love-your-prospects.htm. So getclientsnow.com/loveyourprospects.htm with hyphens in between each word and love your prospects. And the other one is titled Prospects Are People Too. And that's on the getclientsnow.net site, the Get Clients Now Answer Center. And the full URL is getclientsnow.net/2011/06/07/prospects are people with hyphens between each word, prospects-r-people. And again, I'll send those out in the email afterwards, so if you didn't get them, you can get them that way. In my Marketing Recipes audio series, there are two CDs relevant to this topic, Getting to the Presentation and Closing the Sale, and those are sold as a CD two-pack, too, so you can just get the two of them if you want to, the Presenting and Selling two-pack in the Marketing Recipes on the GetClientsNow.com site. Books. I would recommend Tony Alessandra's books, which are not current. They're older, but I think they're still very good. The first one is Collaborative Selling, and the second one is Non-Manipulative Selling. What I like about Tony's perspective is he comes at it from the perspective of a consultant rather than a salesperson. I think Collaborative Selling is out of print, but there's still a lot of used copies around. Non-Manipulative Selling is, I know, still in print. A more modern book that I would suggest is Thomas Freese, F-R-E-E-S-E, Secrets of Question-Based Selling. And then one other resource that I would recommend is Jill Conrath. Jill is the author of Selling to Big Companies, and her blog has some really great ongoing tips and suggestions about collaborative selling. And, you know, if you're not selling to companies, don't worry. They'll still be helpful to you. Jill's name is Conrath, K-O-N-R-A-T-H, and you can find that at jillconrath.com. Check out her blog. So those are some resources I would suggest. Frank or anybody else, do you have some resources that you'd suggest in this topic?
Yeah, CJ, this is Frank. You actually had a couple I had too.
Great.
One of them I have is Section 6 of the Facilitator Kit, Coaching Tips and Tricks. In addition to using these tips with your program participants, modify them for use with your prospects. Like, for instance, use what they already know. Yes and tip. Let's see. Tell them what they're doing right. Balancing problem solving with learning. Just a few. You can adapt those. If you look at those tips, you can adapt those to a coaching the sale approach, and being able to kind of, again, act and model the coaching process.
Great, Frank.
Yep.
That's a terrific suggestion. Good. So any final comments or questions from anybody?
This is Scott.
Yes, Scott.
I just through the discussion about the permission reminded me of a book. I haven't read it yet, but it's on my reading list coming up here. Permission Marketing by Seth Godin, who I believe was somebody in Amazon or Yahoo. I think it was Yahoo. And you know, just some comments from reviews on that book. You know, talks about, you know, it's really about building the relationship, turning strangers into friends, and then turning friends into customers. And so that really tied in with what you were talking about there. And I haven't read the book, but it might be helping along those same lines as well.
Great. Good idea, Scott. I think there's a lot of useful information in that book.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Good. So let us announce the next teleforum. The next one will be on a facilitation or leading topic. In the three teleforums a year, we do two on marketing and sales and the third one on facilitation and leading. And so that's what the next one will be. We're not sure yet what that'll be, but you'll find out. That will be on Thursday, June 28th at this same time. So please mark your calendars for that next teleforum. We'll send you an email with more details as the time draws closer. And thank you, everybody, for your participation today.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.